WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. It's the day after Hurricane Idalia, now a tropical storm, slammed into Florida's west coast, stirring up storm surge of almost 7 feet, then tearing a path through Georgia and the Carolinas. Correspondent Christian Benavides is in Cedar Key, Florida.
In Florida, where Idalia first came ashore as a powerful Category 3 storm, there's a trail of destruction in coastal towns like Horseshoe Beach.
You want to live on the water, you got to put up with it. You know?
Powerful winds ripped roofs off homes. Trees and power lines are blocking roads. One person was killed by a falling tree. More than 310,000 customers have no electricity. Idalia now on its way out into the Atlantic Ocean. Heartbreak in Johannesburg, South Africa. Emergency officials say at least 73 people have died in a fire that engulfed a five-story building used by homeless people. At least seven victims were children, the youngest a one-year-old. The BBC's Pumza Fulani.
Well, authorities here in Johannesburg have told us that sadly it has moved from a rescue mission to a recovery operation, as they believe that anyone that is found at this stage is unlikely to be found alive.
No word on the cause. Are you filling up your tank before you head out for the holiday weekend? CBS's Haley Ott on what to expect.
Fuel analyst Patrick DeHaan says with summer coming to a close, prices should start dropping after Labor Day, barring any surprises.
I do think that the trend will remain downwards for the potential of the next few weeks, especially as we get into mid and late September. That's when a combination of the transition back to cheaper winter gasoline.
This is CBS News.
The way for lower prices.
National average this morning, $3.82 for a gallon of regular. Beware the gone fishing sign ahead of the holiday weekend. Cyber expert Aaron Cockerill says research shows the number of phishing with a PH attacks will likely soar tomorrow with more people working remotely from home computers.
Fuel analyst Patrick DeHaan.
Oops. Fuel analyst. All right, we're having some technical problems there, but those hackers are expected to be in full attack mode tomorrow. And talk about a crowd. More than 92,000 fans packed into Cornhusker Stadium in Lincoln, Nebraska to watch the home team's three-set sweep of Omaha. Attendance in the state, fewer than 2 million people, sets a new world record for a women's sporting event. S&P futures are up 3. Dow futures ahead, 115. This is CBS News.
At Staples, school savings are always in session. From art supplies and essentials to the latest tech, in stock and priced low. School on, save on at your local Staples store.
It's back to school time, but before we ring the bell for class, how about this subject? The first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created America's first kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown, about 50 miles west-northwest of Milwaukee. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bob.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. This includes a commitment to news. Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group Wisconsin Breaking News today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And apparently, Maggie Dawn, big Newton lover of the Maggie Dawn Show.
I was so offended, Jay. You know how much I love and admire you. You're like my freaking radio hero. And then to hear you bash my Newton.
It's still bad.
You want the cakey part cakey. You want the jammy part jammy. That is like bringing me back.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Saying to you, welcome back to the second hour of Up North News Radio for this Thursday, August 31st, National Eat Outside Day, National Trail Mix Day, National Cabernet Day. Nothing from Kristen
all
on that one?
All of those go together,
all
don't
of those.
They?
Okay, all right. National Zoo Awareness Day. I think we already covered that last hour. National Distance Learning Day. And here's one. National Matchmaker Day. Kristen and Aaron, have you ever been a matchmaker for somebody else? Or were you part of a matchmaking setup? Getting blank stares
Not
from both.
Really?
I don't think so.
But okay. In a way, I was part of a matchmaking effort in college, and they are getting married in November. So, or no, October.
Okay.
So it ended up.
What is a matchmaking effort?
I just mean that one of my friends is a Marine, and he was off at boot camp, and one of my other friends introduced her friend Danielle to us. So McKinley comes back from boot camp and meets Danielle, and that first night, everyone else is like, "Okay, they need a date." And so we just tried to engineer situations where they would see each other more often and stuff like that. So it was not really, we didn't like introduce them like, "Hey, you should date." It was, we saw them together and thought, "All right, let's make this
it
happen."
It was much more passive aggressive. It was much more like, "We'll just set up the circumstances. We'll just, you know, we'll treat them like our little puppets. We won't actually say to them, you should date. We're just going to interfere in your lives until you get together." I like that.
It worked.
That's very sneaky. Well, in my case, Sherry and I were not part of a matchmaker thing, but it was an accidental thing that led us to meet. It was at a bar on Water Street in Eau Claire here, go figure. And it was a guy that I knew in college who said, I didn't know him that well, but he was like, "Hey, you want to go to Water Street?" "Yeah, sure, let's go down." And Sherry had a friend of hers saying, "Hey, I'm dating this guy, but you know, would you mind coming along with me anyway?" And Sherry said, "Okay, we'll go down." And so I go down with my friend, and Sherry goes down with her friend, who are, I guess, had just started dating. And we meet at this bar. So we weren't like set up to be set up, but that couple broke up right in front of us.
Oh, like
they're talking, and it's clear they both must have been thinking the same thing, like, "I'm going to bring a friend because this isn't working out." And I think both friends thought maybe we were going to accompany them out, but we were talking. We were having this really nice conversation, and so we like kept talking. We watched our friends just kind of like have a little mini argument and then leave, and we were both kind of sitting there like, "So what was your name again?" And we just kept talking, and we talked till bar time and really hit it off well, and that all happened 40 years ago this weekend. It was Labor Day Saturday. We'll mark 40 years since our accidental matchmaking.
Well, congratulations. And
well, thank you.
Yeah, life is funny that way. That's for sure.
It is. You know, that's how it works. Is, you know, when you're not looking for somebody necessarily is when you're going to meet somebody. I mean, there's different circumstances for everybody, but there's my matchmaker story with a nice round number attached to it. So Anybody else? No, did I win the story contest this hour? Okay,
you won.
I'm going to take that one. All right.
You won in many ways with that story.
I think so. Coming up this hour, just be you. Because, look, there's a lot of ugly pushback out there these days over notions of inclusivity, diversity, and acceptance. But it's only because something stronger is doing some pushing of its own. And that's the right to be yourself. Sometimes people need guidance in getting to where they think they belong versus, say, what they were assigned at birth. And so we're going to talk to a family practice physician in Green Bay about gender-affirming care that, Kristen, you introduced us to. We had to pre-tape the conversation because of her busy schedule, but we learned quite a bit from her, don't we?
Oh, yeah. She provides a service that is not very readily available in this part of the country. And she does it because she's a family medicine doc. She can provide a wide variety of different types of care. And so she can provide preventive care. She can provide hormone therapy. One of the things that I learned from this conversation is that different people are at different places with regards to their gender. This isn't just, you know, people go in to have surgery to change their bodies. They go in to seek resources to help them feel like themselves, Pat, exactly what you were just saying.
Yeah. And so Melissa Hitty is her name, and we learned a lot. And so we're looking forward to talking to her coming up down at the bottom of the hour. So that particular segment we've taped ahead of time. But for everything else that we're doing here, if you'd like to join us, 844-967-2789 is the phone number. You can email us radio@upnorthnewswi.com. Or if you're watching the live video feed of this radio show on one of several different Facebook pages, you can put a comment up there and we will put that up on screen if we see it and want to share it with the audience. As well, keep in mind that you can go to the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us, and that's where you can listen to back to past shows. Each hour is listed as a different episode, and then we bundle them together. It's all about the bundling. We bundle them as a podcast, and you can subscribe to the podcast as well, or you can listen on the Civic Media app, which is amazingly useful. And will be so again this weekend for things like high school football games and for Badger football, because some of the stations have multiple streams right there on the app that enable you to listen either to our regular programming or to a sports event that's going on right there. All right, we'll take a break right here, and then we'll get our full weatherology forecast. It's still a little brisk out there in Wisconsin, but that is going to change in a hurry with the 90s, the mid-90s, making a big comeback just in time for the holiday weekend. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this beautiful Thursday morning, if you're here, you're up north. We'll be right back.
For over a century, AM radio has evolved to meet the needs of our community. More than 80 million listeners depend on AM radio each month. It's also the backbone of the emergency alert system, keeping us safe in dangerous times. A new bill in Congress would ensure this free, reliable service remains in cars. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
I would be remiss if I didn't say that some of what we do in government always is political. It has policy impacts. It has political impacts. But if your raison d'etre and your organizing principle is that my guy wins and your guy loses, the entire country suffers. That is not our call to serve. That is not what we raise our hand and say an oath.
The Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
So as I mentioned before, this is Glenn Tilbrook, the guitarist and lead singer for Squeeze, born in London on this day in 1957. So happy 66th birthday to Glenn Tilbrook. Also, as mentioned previously, we have one hot, hot weekend coming up just in time for the Labor Day holiday. And so here with the latest details on when that transition is going to happen, we head over to Jennifer Vucicki from Weatherology to tell us all about it. Jennifer, good morning.
Good morning.
So how hot is it going to get?
It's going to get really hot, especially once we get to the weekend ahead. So sunny skies and slightly warmer overall here for today as a warm front begins to push through. Mid to upper 70s for most, a little cooler around Lake Michigan. Warmer for your Friday tomorrow with that system coming in. Low to mid 80s across the board with sunny skies. Continuing to warm for the Labor Day weekend ahead. Sunny skies both days. A little warm, a little all over the place as far as temperatures are concerned for Saturday. Looks like mid 90s around Amory, Baldwin, and Richland Center. Upper 80s to low 90s around Wausau, Wisconsin Rapids, and for extreme southern Wisconsin, our coolest spot around Oshkosh with highs in the mid 80s. Sunday, everyone gets into the 90s, primarily the mid to upper 90s, so really hot one coming in. Then high pressure settles into control to start out the new week on Labor Day. Still sunny skies expected for the holiday with highs primarily in the mid to low 90s.
And yet, you look this morning, and right now it is 49 degrees up here on Lake Wissota. It's 45 in Wisconsin Rapids. It's 43 right now in Hayward. I didn't even have time to check the Ashland temperature. It's going to be a faint memory before too long, isn't it, Jennifer?
It really is, yeah. I mean, there's going to be a significant difference from today to the weekend.
Mm-hmm. Well, some of us are very much looking forward to it, and then we can make the move into fall. Jennifer, thanks so much. Have a great day.
Thanks, you too.
There's Jennifer from Weatherology. Bear with me here because I actually do want to see where would the chilly spot be in the state right now. And I'm just guessing that it's going to be Ashland up there on the lake, but, you know.
Always a good guess.
It's always, yeah, I've been wrong before. No, not Ashland, Kentucky. Apparently, they might, again, things just aren't working. Nope, 43 there is as well in Ashland. So
I've noticed that as I've driven to Hibbing, I take 53, so I drive that route. And when you get close to Superior, all of a sudden the temperature just nosedives.
Yes, yeah. It's like you get over that little continental divide and you're in the bowl and boom, it just goes from there. You know, we talked to Dan Schumacher on Friday mornings and, you know, he took a new job up in Ashland not that long ago. And yeah, it's fun to watch whenever somebody moves to a new town and they get to notice some of the new things, like the things that you noticed in Arizona over the summer. Mm-hmm. And for him to notice that it's a lot cooler, you know, up there on the lake, on the big lake in the mornings, but in a nice way during the summer.
Absolutely. And can I tell you something really interesting that I saw in Arizona earlier this week?
Sure.
I went on a tour of the Hopi Reservation with a Hopi gentleman. It was fantastic. And I got to see things that white people don't typically get to see because I had a host. Mm-hmm. And we went to this town that is the oldest continuously inhabited city town in the country called Old Oraibi. And this is a place where the houses are made of sandstone. They're held together with mud. By our standards, they almost don't even look inhabited. They're very quiet and they're kind of sparse. And they had solar panels. I mean, it was so unexpected. Brand new solar panels. And in talking with some of the leaders, they recently dug a well. In this part of the country, they don't have running water in these homes. They have to go get their water and bring it in giant containers. So they have a well now for the first time ever. And all of this is because of President Biden's CARES Act.
Oh, sure. I mean, we've talked about the CARES Act and the American Rescue Plan and the Inflation Reduction Act. And every one of these things, you know, you get Republicans going, oh, so much spending. And I think all the rest of us, and I think the folks with the Hopi Nation would agree, it's like, no, here's that overdue investment that we were finally, you know, we've all been paying taxes. And yet, you know, instead of maybe shifting it to tax cuts for the rich, maybe you do some things for ordinary Americans, like enable us to have clean water. Seems crazy, but hey, these things are happening. Broadband expansion is happening, again, because of the investments being made with our tax dollars. And on the list goes, which makes it, in my mind, still a little odd that, you know, the president does not have the poll numbers that maybe other people think that he should. But there's also, like I said, a lot of time between now and November of 2024 to get the message out about what's been going on right versus, you know, again, years and years of neglect of, you know, of the middle class and of the people who pay taxes.
Mm-hmm. Things that we take for granted. I mean, broadband, you know, we talk about it a lot, mm-hmm. a lot of lip service. Yep. The Democrats have really come through when it comes to funding broadband and getting it implemented. And it's crazy to me to see members of the GOP taking credit for it.
Yeah.
I mean, you voted against this. Mm-hmm. You don't get to climb a cell tower and talk about how great it is to have broadband. This was not your thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's where you're going to see a lot more of that from President Biden on down to people calling people out, basically, probably calling them out at the ribbon cuttings and things mm-hmm. like that, going, oh, it's nice of you to be here for this thing that you voted against, you know, but that you're trying to take credit for. I think that's going to be. That's going to be a regular feature of the next 14 months or so here. Hey, before I forget, give you the Brewers update that the Brewers lost again to the Chicago Cubs 3-2 on Wednesday afternoon. And so the Cubs take 2 out of 3 from the Brewers. Brewers still have a lead over the Cubs in the Central Division, a 3-game lead now. And it was entirely a fluke that led to the loss. Cody Bellinger hit an infield single. It should have just gone right to shortstop to throw the runner out and send the game tied into the ninth inning. But instead, it ricocheted off the ankle of Brewers relief pitcher Yoel Piamps and trickled over to third base. The runner Bellinger beat out the throw. Mike Tauschman scored from third, and that was the difference as the Cubs beat the Brewers 3-2. So now the Brewers will be at American Family Field this weekend to play the Philadelphia Phillies. We'd been hoping to give away tickets in our last hour to it. We asked what I thought was a pretty easy enough to guess question. How many Milwaukee Brewers have won a league batting title? And the answer is one, Christian Yelich. He's won it twice in 2018 and in 2019, but just one Brewer. And in fact, Kristen, if you'll indulge me, I'm going to go find there's a little bit of sports trivia involved here.
Uh-oh.
Oh, yeah. It was that Robin Yount didn't win a batting title. He, in 1982, he fell short by a single point.
Ugh.
He had a .331 batting average while Willie Wilson had .332. Paul Molitor came in second in 1987, and that was with a franchise high batting average of .353. But Wade Boggs had hit .363 that year. Cecil Cooper finished just short to George Brett in 1980. And Ryan Braun fell just short in 2011. So Christian Yelich, the only American or National League batting champion, or league batting champion, I should say, in Brewers history. So now we're going to come up with something else for tomorrow, and we're going to make it 4 tickets to give away.
I love how you talked about Robin Yount and Paul Molitor and Cecil Cooper. They were all on the same team. Remember back in the day?
Oh, yeah.
Glory days.
Those were good times. And look, you've got a crew now that maybe isn't as – nobody's ever as legendary in the moment. But who knows how we're going to look back on some of these teams that mm-hmm. Have made the playoffs in the past and may again this year. I mean, even if at the end of the season they say they narrowly fall behind the Cubs or the Reds in the division, they will still very much be in the wild card hunt. So there's a very good chance that we see this team going into the postseason. Again, different things could happen, but we'll try not to think about those things. We're going to have happy thoughts, happy positive thoughts, right?
Fingers crossed.
From now till then. One more sports note. Badger football does kick off this Saturday. Ignore what Kristen's talking about going to the Gopher game tonight. Let's talk about the Badgers.
Yeah.
They play Saturday afternoon, 2:30. And you can hear those games across several Civic Media stations, WRJN in Racine. That's 1400 AM, 99.9 and 98.1 FM. There's WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM, 97.5 FM. There's WLAK in Amory, 1260 AM. And then WRCE, Richland Center, 1450 AM, 107.7 FM. And Badger football can be streamed wherever you are on the Civic Media app. So get that app downloaded and listen to some sports over the weekend. And then when you're back here Monday morning, we'll find out, you know, whether you actually made it into the Gopher football game or if you went to go see Duran over at the state fairgrounds. That thing's not called TCF Bank anymore where the Gophers play, right? It's got a different
Huntington
name.
Bank now.
Huntington Bank? Huntington.
I don't name it, Pat. I just go there.
I'm just saying. It's, you know, all the time these changes. Miller Park becomes American Family Field. You know, used to know where you were going. Now you're just going to, you know, the Brewers game or the Gophers game, and you'll have to get out there. I'm looking forward to hearing all about it here.
But Lambeau will always be Lambeau.
Lambeau will always be Lambeau. Yes. Yeah. Some things, they reach a legendary status that way. So a new thing to get your thoughts about, and that is the ongoing, I don't know how else to put it, whining by the conservative justices on the state Supreme Court about the progressive justices who are now in the majority. And it seems to me their biggest problem is that they can't count to four because there's four progressive justices who can do things that used to be done by four or five conservative justices. And that seems to be their big thing. And yet they're getting help by Republican legislators who are making noise about potentially impeaching Janet Protasiewicz, which strikes me as nothing more than trying to, again, overturn the results of an election, which, again, sounds pretty typical for what we're getting from the Republicans these days, is if you don't like an election, try to overturn it.
Remind me what the margin was on that election. Like, 11. Was that a squeaker?
Not no. even close. It was an 11-point victory for Janet Protasiewicz, who did say that the current maps are rigged. And here's why she said it. It's true. It's been borne out over yes. and over and over again.
Yeah.
And
can we
yeah.
talk about this? Like, I think it's good to share your, like, we all have opinions. So she is sharing her personal opinion, which is based in fact. And I think that's very reasonable. She's a human who lives on the earth.
Not to mention that plenty of Republican legislators have bragged about the condition mm-hmm. of the maps. And mm-hmm. look, one of our own here at Civic Media, Todd Alba, was in the room as mm-hmm. a Republican staffer when they were bragging about how, you know, those new maps in 2011 were going to lock in a majority because they knew they were gerrymandered. So, yeah, the jig is finally up. And so to act as if you're going to again try to nullify the results of an election, I guess, let me put it this way, folks, I dare you. Go for that. See how that strategy works with the voters. I don't think it's going to work out well for you. That's just my guess.
I'm with you.
I know. I know you got to run. We're going to do the taped interview for Hometown Health coming up next. So, hey, you have a wonderful time. Safe travels. We'll talk Monday morning.
Looking forward to it.
All right. Kristen and I are back with Hometown Health coming up right after this break, talking about gender-affirming care. You're up north.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
CBS News brings... Herculean task of hurricane cleanups begun from the Florida Gulf Coast to Burke County, Georgia, and Moorhead, North Carolina. CBS's Jared Hill.
As Tropical Storm Idalia churned up the coast, it lashed North Carolina with pounding rain and maximum sustained winds of 60 miles per hour.
More than 70 people have been killed by a fire in Johannesburg, South Africa, that raced through five-story building there. The BBC's Pumza Fulani.
Stories around abandoned buildings that then get taken over by what have been described by authorities as criminal gangs who rent them out to desperate people are not new.
As you head out for the Labor Day weekend, good news from Gas Buddies, Patrick DeHaan.
If things go well, if there are no surprises or curveballs, the national average could fall 35 to 50 cents a gallon by the end of the year.
It's at 382 today. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
AM Radio provides always-on news, sports, talk, traffic, and weather reports. It also delivers vital emergency information when your community needs it most. A new bill in Congress would ensure AM Radio stays in your car. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free emergency service is critical. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Hey, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
My mama told me when I was young, we're all on superstars.
And welcome back. It's time for Hometown Health on this Thursday. As always, Dr. Kristen Lierley joins us with a guest and always a very interesting topic. And the topic this week is gender-affirming care. Dr. Lierley, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good, thanks. Now, let's talk about the subject today. And then we have a great family medicine doc from the Green Bay area that you're going to introduce, not just as a doc, but I like that your introduction refers to Dr. Melissa Hitty as mom, Packer fan, cross-stitcher, and provides transgender hormone therapy for some of your patients. That is a full business
card. She does
it
all. Yes. Yeah, she does it all. So, yeah, I wanted to bring Dr. Hitty on board because we've had many conversations. We care for a lot of the same patients and a lot of the same issues. And Dr. Hitty is really kind of a unicorn in the Green Bay area. She is an essential resource for lots of folks who live here, and it's just such a privilege to know her and to work with her. Welcome, Dr. Melissa Hitty.
Thank you. Good morning.
So why don't we start out by talking about doctors who provide these much needed services for transgender folks. And like I mentioned in the introduction, there just aren't a lot of people who offer this kind of care. How did this become part of your practice?
So the really short answer to that is really because there was a need. I came from a very, very small town. And when I went to college at Madison, sort of had my eyes opened, took, a gender studies class. And then in our medical school, we actually had a class titled Healthcare in Diverse Communities. So had a small introduction to transgender medicine and what that could look like. When I got to residency, every year, the outgoing residents graduate and they hand down all their patients to the incoming residents. And I had a patient that was assigned to me that was transgender. And I didn't want to not know what I was doing. So from there, I just started seeking out more education. I had a great mentor in my residency. I was able to get a lot of the education that I was looking for. And my residency program was very, very supportive and let me grow a little bit of this practice in my residency. And then I was just able to take that with me to where I am now in Green Bay and grow it more.
And that was the Appleton area, right?
Yeah, I was right in Appleton and was really fortunate to have some great, not only mentors, but just a ton of support, both with my colleagues and the clinic I was at. They not only said, oh, sure, you can do it, but said, hey, what do you need? And how can we help grow this and really make sure that our clinic is a safe space for these patients?
And now you're practicing in Green Bay, which is, fairly close to Appleton, although those of us who live in Green Bay and Appleton feel like it's a world apart sometimes. So where do your patients come from and how do they find you?
When I first started, I had a lot of patients follow me from Appleton. It's not that far. And as you mentioned, there's just not a lot of folks who feel really comfortable and confident providing complete gender-affirming care. When I started here, we put it in all my marketing materials and we went to a few local events, but really a lot of my patients from the area that grew really via word of mouth. And then now I have patients that really are from across the state. I have patients from very far up north. I have patients from, Eau Claire, La Crosse. I have some patients that have moved to Milwaukee and Madison and keep me as their physician. I actually got licensed in Michigan solely so that I could help care for folks up in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. Because again, there's just not a lot of opportunities for these patients to get care without seeking out like an academic center or going to a place like Howard Brown in Chicago.
So for folks who are patients, let's go back a step. People who might become, prospective patients, they just need to talk to somebody. Does that talking to other people happen before they get to the stage of reaching out to you and making an appointment with you? Or is your first appointment sometimes a lot of, taking the patient's history and listening to them and then determining a path forward?
Yeah, it depends. Some patients come to me and I'm sort of the very last step in their pathway to maybe hormone therapy or further things. And I have a lot of patients who come to me just because they know we've created the safe space and we have a really welcoming and inclusive clinic. Because I'm a family doctor, I can take care of anybody. So whether it's regular checkups and routine healthcare, or whether it is talking about more specialized things like gender-affirming hormone therapy, we can take care of all of that right in my clinic. So I meet people at every single stage in this journey, from people who haven't quite figured everything out yet to people who have just been trying to find somebody to prescribe their medications and then finally stumble upon me.
We took a step back with that question, but let's take another step back because we didn't really define what gender affirming care is. Help us.
Yeah. So really at its roots, gender-affirming care is simply anything that helps affirm somebody's gender. So if somebody asks to use a preferred name, or certainly using somebody's pronouns that they feel comfortable with, those are two very, very simple, and what I often tell parents, completely reversible things that can be done. And there's a lot of evidence that shows using affirming language, so using a preferred name, using the right pronouns, is really, truly beneficial to patients' mental health and their overall well-being. What we see is gender-affirming care could simply be that, just language that we use, allowing people to be themselves, dress the way that they choose. I think a lot of people, when they think gender-affirming care, they jump right to medications and hormones. But truly, a lot of it's just inclusive language and having an environment where people are allowed to be themselves. And then, of course, gender-affirming care may, for some people, eventually include surgeries. But some people pursue that and some don't. So it's just this entire idea of being welcoming, inclusive, mirroring the language that a person is using themselves to help them really feel their best and feel their most confident.
It's good to know that we can now talk about this as essentially a spectrum or an arc, if you will, that once upon a time it was just sex change, or it was, you know, they're a cross-dresser or whatever. But in each stage, it's affirming somebody's gender, and not everybody takes it, you know, to the point of surgery. Like you said, sometimes it's just the verbal recognition. In other ways, it might be, you know, wardrobe, it might be hormones, things like that. So you have these discussions with a patient or a prospective patient. And so what in your office, obviously you said if it's surgery, you move on to another area, another specialty, but what are some of the other kinds of things that happen in terms of, you know, say hormone therapy?
Yeah. So in my clinic, when somebody comes to see me, a lot of times we talk about steps of readiness. So for my patients, if they're planning to move toward hormone therapy, first, what we want to see is we want to see that very clear diagnosis of gender dysphoria. So gender dysphoria is a very persistent, you know, so well over 6 months of feeling very strongly like the outside body, the body parts, the chromosomes that one was given don't match with who they are, and really wishing that they and others could see themselves as another gender. So once we've got that well-defined diagnosis, then a lot of patients will move forward with a social transition. So that may be trying to find the right name or trying to use pronouns that are the best fit. For some people, that's things like changing their clothing or their hairstyle. Sometimes for people that have breast tissue or chest tissue, that's wearing a binder to help flatten that so that their outward appearance isn't as overtly feminine and maybe looks a little bit more masculine. And there's truly a lot of things that people can do in their life that are kind of figuring this out. And again, finding what things make me feel my best, and maybe which things aren't a good fit. So that part of things often people have been figuring out for a long time before they come to see me. In my office, like you said, we get a really complete history. So usually our visits are pretty long in the world of primary care. I often will take 45 to 60 minutes with a patient, our first meeting, and I really just want to hear their whole story. I want to make sure that from a physical standpoint, they're overall healthy, making sure, you know, maybe we have some high blood pressure we need to get under control, or maybe we have some headaches we need to work on. And then really the last step before we talk about hormones is making sure that mental health is steady. So that doesn't mean people can't have depression or anxiety, because obviously we see really high rates of mental health diagnoses and conditions in people that are gender diverse. But what it means is I want people to have a stable mental health, that maybe their medications have been consistent for a while, they've been following their treatment plan, we don't have any active suicidal thoughts, it's been a long time since we've self-harmed. For a lot of people, that means having a counselor, maybe a psychiatrist. And truly for a lot of people, it just means having people, right? Safe people, whether that's family or friends or a found family, knowing that they have support so that as they're going through this journey, when there's little ups and downs, we know we've got a good safety net for that. And then from there, that's where if we've met all those milestones, a lot of people are ready to start talking about hormone therapy and what that can do to help their body better align with who they truly are.
This is a long process that starts with a history and goes through all of the things that you just talked about. So have you encountered a situation where someone wants to change their gender in order to participate in sports for as a differently gendered person? Just out of curiosity, because we hear a lot about that in politics and in political speech.
So I can confidently tell you of the thousands of patients that I care for, I have had absolutely zero who have chosen to change their gender, right? Because gender is written, it's rooted in the brain. And I certainly haven't had any who've wanted to change their gender for some ulterior motive or some outside gain. There are very exceedingly rare exceptions where somebody may have symptoms that kind of look like gender dysphoria, but there's something else. And that's where working with me, working with the team, working with a lot of folks in the area who take care for a lot of gender diverse patients can help guide those folks. But this is just who people are. Just as somebody's written either left-handed or right-handed, gender's written in the brain. So I think one of the best analogies I've ever heard is if you're left-handed, right, and there's a small percentage of the population who are, imagine being forced to use your right hand your whole life, being told you're right-handed, not being allowed to use your left hand or only being able to do it in secret. And just imagine one day being finally able to use your truly dominant hand, to actually use it and actually be confident in that. So similar to handedness, gender, you know, we can play along and we can maybe get kind of good at using the wrong hand for a while, but we just can't unwrite that. So this isn't people in a dress trying to sneak into a bathroom. This isn't people trying to gain some advantage in sports. These are just people who are trying to go about their day, go about their life, go about their job, but just feel their best.
Sounds good. And if people want more information, if they're looking for more assistance, what other kinds of things could people do if they want more answers?
So in Wisconsin, the ForgeWisconsin.org has a great set of resources for folks who are looking maybe for a doctor, but other resources in Wisconsin. So we have folks that have a hair salon who can help maybe teach people how to shave or do their hair in a certain way if maybe they didn't learn that when they were younger. We have local tattoo artists who can help with chest or nipple tattooing after chest surgeries. There's just a huge array. In the Green Bay area, there's a couple of wonderful support groups. Diverse and Resilient is one that we have a lot of patients get some wonderful support from. And then, unfortunately, this is somewhat political and there's a lot of legal aspects to this. So we use the Trans Law Help website and the Trans Law Wisconsin website a lot to help with things like name changes and gender marker changes, but also with things like what to do if you were discriminated against with housing or with a job, and what resources are out there.
Very good. Dr. Melissa Hitty, thank you so much. Kristen, thanks again for helping introduce us to the topic here on Up North News Radio. Hope you have a great day. And I should note that in that interview that we taped ahead of time with the doctors there, that right before that, I said to Kristen, see you on Monday. No, we won't. Monday's Labor Day. And we'll talk more about Labor Day weekend with Luke Mathers coming up in just a minute. You're up north.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to learn how you can get 3 months free. 877-227-0924.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. The Todd Alba Show, weekday afternoons from 1 till 3. Join the conversation. Get involved. The Todd Alba Show on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to around 78 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the south at 5 to 15. Tonight, clear 57. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, breezy, and a bit warmer with a high of 85. Then on Saturday through the weekend, it's going to be sunny and hot with highs in the low to mid-90s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 48.
Civic Media Radio Stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
I thought this was the Letterman, but I was wrong. Was it The Happenings? I think it's the name of the group. I was sure it was the Letterman, and I ended up with some other terrible song about September. And this is the one I was looking for, because this is it for August, Luke. It's going to be September tomorrow.
Come on.
You got a sweatshirt on already.
It's cool down here when I woke up this
morning.
What are
you talking about? Aaron comes in every day looking like he just stepped out of a Turkish bathhouse because it's so hot in there.
You have your robe in the studio, Aaron?
No, just a little towel. It's like a dish towel. Could we please fix that?
You miss a lot when you don't get here at 5:45, but maybe that's for the best.
Yes.
Yeah, there you go. It's a cool morning. I slept with the house open last night, so I was just a little cooler this morning myself. So, yeah, I'm repping Door County.
The Door County sweatshirt there. Yeah.
So,
no, it has been. It's been very chilly, but it's going to be a hot, hot weekend. Yes. What are you going to do with it?
I'm going up to Door County.
Door County.
That's where I'll be. This Labor Day weekend, it's a family tradition, so we go up there, the entire extended family on my mom's side. We go up to the same campsite every year, so it'll be a great time. Looking forward to it. Hopefully it's not 90 degrees while I'm sleeping in a tent, but, you know, if it is, it is.
Not while you're sleeping, but still. So this is all on your side, and you're newly married, so will your bride come along? Is she aware of this? Is she aware of it and saying,
she's
you know,
been coming
you go do your thing?
Oh, no, okay. No. She's been coming every year for better part of 7-8 years now. It's been a while. So
this woman has stuck around with you for 7-8 years now?
It'll be 10 years come next March, but she didn't come to Door County every single year. So
I would be impressed with the 10 years, except that you heard my story earlier about, Sherry and I marked 40 years this weekend. So you got a little ways to go. But on the other hand, once you get to 40, you also never have to have an alarm set at 4 a.m. because you're always waking up that early to pee anyway. So enjoy your youth, young man, while you've got it.
Well, see, I got the dog helps me stick on the morning schedule, because even on an off day I get to still be up, because he's like, hey, I don't know what the difference between a Monday and a Saturday is.
Oh yeah, so I'm just gonna do that jingle thing on my collar, you know, till you wake up and take me out. Or if they really need to get you going, you know what the dogs do then? They go
he talks
there's
like a little
nothing that wakes you up. Nothing wakes you up like a dog that you think is about to vomit.
I'm
you
not
hear
say that,
that you're just like
never
nope.
happened before, but Remy's a pretty good boy. He doesn't throw up anywhere. Like he eats his food. He doesn't get into things that would cause him to throw up. So his thing, he'll come and he just does a little low growl. So it's just, and that's
again,
all
just
he does.
Just to recap, so far this segment has been filled with dog vomit, old men peeing, and Aaron wearing a dish towel.
Hey,
so
man, your name's on the show.
Uh, So for the holiday weekend, I know we've got Badger football. We've talked about all the stations across the Civic Media Network where that can be heard. I would imagine there's going to be a Cripes cast or two, perhaps.
Yes. Should be at least one at noon on both Saturday and Sunday. Aaron's got the details on that one today because I haven't received them yet.
Yes, this weekend's Cripes cast is a little different from normal. Normally, he has some guests, but this time, you know, doing the Cripes cast for a while, he's built up a lot of listener questions. So he has a Q&A.
Oh, a mailbag edition.
Yeah, learn some stuff about the Midwest, which we already know, but get his perspective, some stuff about birding, fishing, all the good stuff.
There we go.
Birding.
Yeah. Speaking of birding, Bird on a Wire is also new this weekend. So across WAUK, the Shaw in Waukesha, you can listen to Bird on the Wire with host Luann Bird. She's sitting down for a conversation with her siblings, Mike, John, Phil, and Joe, who all served in the military. So a military-themed edition of Bird on the Wire, service edition for this Labor Day weekend.
Wait, so she gets to talk to her siblings on the radio. Charlie Behrens has made a great franchise out of talking to his siblings on the radio. My two younger sisters would not give me the time of day if I asked them to sit. They'd say, "Are you nuts?
You can float the idea of this Labor Day weekend. Come on, you just ask. You never know until you ask."
No, the person who would do it would be my mom. But again, we would put the radio station license in jeopardy because she's taught my granddaughters my daughters and my grandkids just too many bad words. But God love her for it, you know. That one of us has to respect the red light when it's on, man. If you're on TV or radio, respect the red
light.
Yes. Her, not so much. She'll blow right through that thing.
Not everybody's trained for the broadcast world, Pat.
No, they most definitely are not. All right, so we didn't get to talk about high school sports very much, but needless to say, high school football season is well underway and in full gear on many of these Civic Media stations.
Yeah, full swing for the high school. School sports. No other place but bigger doing more high school sports here on the Civic Media Network than Bull Falls Radio. Chad Holmes with the big high school sports show on Wednesday evenings and covering like three different concurrent streams all at once. Like, I don't know how Chad does it sometimes. I am always impressed with the work that Chad and the team at Bull Falls Radio is doing when it comes to high school sports coverage. But we've got excellent high school sports through Richland Center, Waukesha, Wisconsin Rep. Like, it is everywhere. We've got high school sports coverage, so you can check out the Civic Media website to see more about all of that coverage.
He's the red zone. That's what it is.
Oh, that's Aaron, a great comparison. I haven't even thought of that yet.
Our walk-up music for Chad Holmes has been, you know, the old Johnny Cash tune, "I've Been Everywhere," because he goes all over the place doing these football games.
Right.
We had to get the theme song to the red zone. It's like this big orchestral thing, like, da-da-da-da, because that's him. He's like the red zone of high school football in Wisconsin.
I think we'll have to do that, yeah.
Scott Hansen and the NFL Network might be a little upset with you, but we could try to do it.
Five seconds.
Little tease. You know? Little sample.
Or maybe I can record an off-brand version.
Or just play it with a kazoo.
There you go. You got the drums and the bass from your Green Day.
I'm not sure that this is going to work after all. I'd like to pull back this plan. Let's cut this part out in post-production. We're live.
He's going to work on it all Labor Day weekend, and it'll be perfect next week when Chad joins you next week.
All right. Well, look, now that I've got an extra moment here, I very rarely get to do this. There are so many things going on across the Civic Media Radio Network at 8 o'clock in the morning. And so I'm just going to go through all of them, and either one of you can interrupt and say something about them. But depending on where you're listening, and Luke will correct me if I get any of these wrong. It's like a pop quiz. Earl Ingram is coming up next in Waukesha, Green Bay, and Racine. Stu Daniels in the Chippewa Valley, La Crosse, Hayward, and Oshkosh. Chad Holmes in Wausau, Stephanie Miller in Madison, James Jay and the gang in Wisconsin Rapids, and they are all followed by Kristen Bry and As Goes Wisconsin. How, as an executive producer, Mr. Mathers, do you possibly juggle all of this quality talent in one time block?
I just help with the production side of things. We've got an excellent team here at Civic Media working out on the programming side. It has been a very great last year. Looking forward to all of the new additions to the team to help continue expanding local programming here in the state of Wisconsin. And we're going to have a little special Labor Day broadcast as well for individuals on Monday, 8 to 11 a.m., the Earl Ingram Show is going to be live from Labor Fest. So a little extended bonus Earl on the Labor Day holiday that you can tune into on Monday.
Look at you. All right. Such a good company, man. Have a great weekend.
You too.
Talk to you later. We'll see the rest of you all here tomorrow on Friday morning, where it'll be another beautiful day up north. See you then.
It's back to school time, but before we ring the bell for class, how about this subject? The first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created America's first kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown, about 50 miles west-northwest of Milwaukee. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. For Civic Media, I'm Terry.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. This includes a commitment to news. Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.